Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. We got a big show today because something finally happened in the offseason. I was ready for nothing to happen at all, and Northwestern tried to do a bullshit maneuver by doing a Friday late news drop and let everyone know that they've been investigating Pat Fitzgerald, their head coach. And it's like, all right, why would you sneak that in on a Friday on a short week after the 4th of July? They planned that out. That was a 6-month investigation. That's almost like when UNC found out that they had their fake classes, Matt. You know, when they dumped their information, always on a Friday at like 4 p.m. like Northwestern did. So they had always planned on keeping him as head coach. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about the show kicking back up. Had some good download numbers. Thanks for the support. Go to southboundsports.com. Make sure you subscribe. I think Stitcher. We've had some listeners on Stitcher. Stitcher is going away. They let us know that they're going out of business. So if you're a listener from there, you're going to have to download some of the other apps. I really don't know other than like Apple Podcasts. I know Google has podcasts. But make sure you still subscribe. So if you're on there and you're listening to this, I wanted to give everyone a heads up. You probably got a notice inside your app, but that's going to be discontinued. And I bring that up because I know we've had consistent downloads from that app throughout the years. So thanks for your support. Again, go to southboundsports.com to check that out. With the start of football coming back, I wanted to start talking more about tailgate at the beginning of the show as part of my high tempo, Matt. And one thing that really got me this weekend, I go out to CeCe's Pizza. I never really go there, right? Because like, who goes to a buffet? It has like an arcade, right? Of course I go there. It's completely packed. There's one parking spot, but the person decided to park halfway into my parking spot. And it reminded me of like tailgating, because you go to tailgate, and there's always people that just park so crooked. And it's like, what are you doing? I can't fit a lawn chair here. It's very easy to just park in your spot. And of course, I have a small car. And I think, I'm not parking behind in the back of CeCe's. Like, that's very sketchy. It's right off 95. No one wants to be anywhere sketchy off 95. I want to park in this spot. So I think, I eyeball it and I think, well, it's like a bigger white SUV. I can probably center my car in that parking spot and park there. So that's what I did. I was probably about 2 inches from the other car, and it was their driver's side, my passenger side. So like, why do I care if I can get out my passenger side door or not? As soon as I get out of the car, an old lady walks right to me, Matt. This old lady comes out. And I'm thinking, that has to be your car because there was like a tree. You know, they had like the tree thing there?
Yeah.
So there's really no reason for her to park in my spot at all. Because those spots on the end, I think, are like even wider. So she comes out, doesn't say anything to me. I say like, hey, how are you doing? She's like, good. Walks right up to her car. And I'm thinking, you didn't say anything to me? And I look at her, try to walk between our two cars, and there's no way she's fitting in there. So she's standing around flabbergasted, doesn't yell back to me. And of course, CeCe's packed, so I'm standing outside on the sidewalk, just watching her, wondering like what she's going to do. Because I thought when I pulled this off, this is a bad mistake. Because like, if you're at a West Virginia football game, someone could throw batteries at you. They would slam their car door into your car. Heck, they might even tip your car over, Matt, right? This is a very risky maneuver I pulled off during football season. So, and I know it's not football season, I'm just prepping. And I watched this lady go into her passenger side, climb through. I know that's not a bench seat. She's climbing over the middle console. So when she gets into her driver's seat, she can't close her passenger door. And I wonder, like, should I go close it for her? I should have filmed the thing because I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. All she had to do was say, oh, excuse me, that's my car. I parked like a jerk. Can you just back out so I can get in? I would have done it, right? So when you're out there tailgating, my tip for this week be mindful of your surroundings. You never know when you're going to park somewhere and your neighbor offers you a free beer that's not roofied, that has a lid right on it, so you know for sure that that's a new beer, right? Not suspicious at all. Don't park like a jerk, right? That's my tip for the summer. I know we're in the off season. It really got me going because I thought you had to know it was packed right now. You can see the line outside. I've never lined up for like a club wedding, but at least it's a buffet. So, you know, once you get in the door, you're not waiting. That's my little off season story. You got anything for high tempo this week?
No, I really don't this week. Just kind of getting things in order.
I know fantasy football's coming down. I got to reach out to Eckler. Hopefully he messaged me back. I'll just keep messaging him on Twitter. I hope he didn't log off because of the issues they've been having. See if he's going to play this year. People have been telling me not to use him as my keeper because they said the only reason he did so good last year was because all the wide receivers were hurt and he had to just catch a lot of dump down passes. But I thought he did a lot of damage on the ground. I just think he's kind of smaller. Right? Maybe I haven't looked up his size, so this is just me doing the eyeball test. Because almost like one time at Steelers training camp, I saw Hines Ward, and I thought, oh my God, I'm bigger than Hines Ward. And then I see him on an NBC now, and I'm like, I'm not bigger than Hines Ward anymore. So, so I'm like, you never know when you're watching these guys. You think like Hines Ward, like they always show him like he looks like he's ripped out there. And then I see him. He's like a little man. I'm like, there's no way you're 6 foot, buddy. What are you doing? You're lying. You're wearing spikes right now. I'm towering over you. So I don't know. Like some of these guys, if Eckler, if they tell me he's 5'10", I don't even know what they would say he is. I should look that up real quick. But I'm worried about his size and how many carries he has. Whenever, especially my man, Derrick Henry, he can't get through a full season. And I can't use my keeper on him anymore because he's too old. Yeah, they have Austin Eckler at 5'10". Based on my interaction with Hines Ward, I'm going to say Austin Eckler is probably 5'8", right? I would say they at least add 2 inches. Am I wrong? What do you think?
I think it's an interesting conspiracy theory.
All I'm saying is Hines Ward comes out at training camp towards me, comes out, gives me a high five. He's wearing spikes. I'm not, and I'm still taller than him, and I would average myself somewhere between like 6'1", maybe 6'2", tops. He's supposed to be 6 foot. We should have been like almost eye contact, man. So it was almost like getting a limp handshake by like your hero, except he wasn't limp. He was pretty muscular, but he's just shorter than I expected. It threw me off. Ben was definitely big. I don't know what he was supposed to be on his stats, but Hines Ward was the one that stood out. Same with like Antoine Randall. I think he was around that time. He's like super small. I thought like, oh, buddy, you're going to get hurt out there. You better be careful. So I wish they would do. They started to do it at the combine. Don't they do like laser heights and stuff now? I wouldn't even be surprised if it was like WWE weigh-ins where they automatically gave people like Tom Cruise type lifts in their shoes when they lasered them in, right? Because, like, you see an actor, who was it, Kevin Hart, took that picture. Did you see that picture of him and that Stanford basketball player? She towered over him. It looked like she was out with toddlers, Matt. Look that up. I don't know what her name was. She was, like, Defensive Player of the Year or something for the Pac-12 or maybe the nation. She led Stanford to the national championship, and she met Kevin Hart, and it looked like she was taking a toddler for a walk. So I was like, oh my gosh, man. So that's what I'm worried about with Austin Eckler. You tell me that he's 200 pounds, he's 5'10". My guess is he's more 5'8", buck 70, and I'm worried he's going to get hurt. So I need some assurances. Maybe he'll message me back, say like, I'm good, buddy. I'm good, best friend. Thanks for winning the championship for me next year. That's what I'll tell him. Or last year. Let's get rolling back to the college football. That's my only news for the NFL, Matt, by the way. Do you have anything for the NFL before we get rolling to college?
No.
Because, like, all I'm worried about is kind of, like, training camp's going to be starting, right? And they're talking about, like, oh, yeah, now we can get into, like, which guys are going to or actually going to play And we're getting so close that they're doing the power rankings pre-training power camp rankings, Matt. Cardinals are dead last. And it's like, who cares? Like, they got rid of Kingsbury. He wasn't even a good coach. They could bring in someone else that's a decent coach, and they might have a playoff year. I don't know. So I think the training camp rankings are just garbage, and I'm more worried about which fantasy guys I need to know are healthy. But let's get into college football, back to the Northwestern issue. My issue with the Northwestern story is, like, other than them dumping it on a Friday, saying that Pat Fitzgerald had no idea that they were hazing. The report itself said that the hazing was part of practice. So if he didn't know the locker room, okay, fine. Let me bite. Like, okay, the story was, and some of this might not have been official, it might have been leaked through, like, the Northwestern blogs or whatever, which they're in contact with the athletic department. They're going to tell them kind of what to write. So they were saying that the locker room that the hazing was done in is disconnected from the practice facility. So if it's Gerald's office, he would leave practice and go to the practice, whatever facility, into his office. The players would then come through with the player reps and the trainers or whatever, and they would go into this other locker room. Okay, perfectly fine. Then it comes out that students had pictures of the whiteboards that were in the locker room that had, like, hazing tally marks and stuff on it. Now, I don't know for sure because ESPN verified the whiteboard, wouldn't post it. So I don't know what's on it. That's just what it seemed like that they had, was that they were keeping track of who was getting hazed on this whiteboard. Pat Fitzgerald, he had to have walked through there on recruiting trips. Because what recruiting trip is not going to show the locker room? That's like my biggest red flag. I see locker rooms from, like, Texas getting new locker rooms and, like, beats and everything. My second thing is, why do they still have a community shower? Like, if you're telling me that each person can come in and have their own Xbox or PlayStation 5 right in their locker, they have their own massage chair, they have their own, everything else is new, except they said, well, the only thing that I'm missing, coach, is, like, there's no shower here. It's like, no, buddy, we got the shower for you. Built in 1970, come on in. We do a thing called the car wash, where everyone just takes off all their clothes and they spin in circles and you have to kind of walk through them while they spray you with the hose. Which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, right? So for that to be going on, and players started to come out saying that that was a thing since at least the mid-2000s. And I don't mean the middle of now. I mean, like, 2005 through 2007 were confirmed that this was happening. Pat Fitzgerald has been there forever. He played there in the 95 Rose Bowl or whatever, 96 Rose Bowl, whatever Rose Bowl that was. That's basically, like, his legacy. He won the Big Ten. He became coach. He's won the Big Ten West twice. I thought they would never get rid of him. It seemed like they didn't want to. Now they have a stadium project, Matt. It's on hold because a lot of the donors are giving pushback. They really didn't want him fired. And I'm kind of torn because they got a outside investigation in. The outside investigation cleared him. They said that, like, he never went to that locker room or whatever. It was isolated. Maybe the coaches that were there, because I'm assuming some coaches have to be in there, right? It's not like a free-for-all. There has to at least be trainers there. But Iowa used their trainer as a fall guy, didn't they? Like Chris Carter said, you always have to have a fall guy. Kirk Ferentz had his fall guy. It was always his trainer. How many issues have they had with their locker room? Two or three?
Yeah.
It was like the same type of stuff, like racist, hazing, whatever. Players were getting run to the ground. Not like this weird shower stuff that Northwestern had going on. But they ended up blaming it on the trainers and how they were the ones that took care of the athletes after practice. Which makes sense if Pat Fitzgerald came in and said, like, hey, I'm going to make a statement. I have no idea. Really sorry to hear this. Troubling for me. But there's another key to the story, Matt. I didn't realize this. When Pat Fitzgerald was a student, Northwestern's coach got hired by Colorado, right? He got investigated for sexual hazing and doing like sex stuff on recruiting. And he ended up getting fired by Colorado. So you can't tell me that he just randomly started that at Colorado. I'm thinking that this has gone back to Northwestern since like 1995 at least. I don't know when that coach was there. I forget his name. You can look it up. I mean, I didn't make that up. There was an investigation into his practices of trying to bring like women around to recruits and stuff like that. And then some other locker room antics that weird. So I think, I don't want to say that they hired this firm to kind of sweep it under the rug, but I think the hiring at this point is justified. I'm surprised that it took them that long to get rid of it. I've seen a lot of players speak out and say like, hey, Pat Fitzgerald's a great guy. I never played it with Northwestern, but this. When you have multiple players coming out and saying like, I've had no contact with the team since leaving because I don't want to be associated with that at all. And it's kind of true. Like, I don't remember seeing like any alums going back to Northwestern, right?
I wouldn't think.
Because like, I know they're not on the same level, but like Michigan sidelines like all their old players. Ohio State has their old players around all the time. Alabama has their old players coming back from the NFL and practicing with them. Florida State has their old guys coming and hanging around. Miami, that's like their entire thing. Like Northwestern's like the only one that doesn't. I just don't understand it. And as a coach, you have to have known. If players are doing something called a Shrek clap, which I'm not sure what that is at practice, coach would have to be curious, right? Like, I don't see how a bunch of players would start doing something weird. And coach is like, what are you guys doing? Oh, he messed up, coach, for giving him the Shrek clap. Coach is going to say like, what's he going to do? Plug his ears? Be like, nope, don't tell me about it. Don't want to know. Right? Especially now with social media, like I'm surprised that it's taken this long to come out.
Well, and I would think that in this new NIL type situation and the transfer portal, that like if they are being, like if you're a student athlete and you're being treated like that, why aren't you seeing this big mass exodus too?
Well, I thought about that. Northwestern's bringing in guys, their academic stuff is still very highly rated. And I think a couple players have spoken. I think I read at least two accounts where the players said the only thing they're worried about, they didn't want to lose their scholarship because they thought they would have to transfer down. Right? Northwestern, they're like the Stanford of the Big Ten or whatever. They're not getting the pick of their kids for admissions. Right? So they can't backfill if people transfer out. Likewise, if you're not going to be playing at Ohio State or Michigan in the Big Ten, Northwestern's not bad to get your degree, right? Like, if you're not going to be playing from a football factory point of view, it's kind of like the Vanderbilt thing. Everyone's talking about, like, well, Vanderbilt, they're going to get the recruits. Like, yeah, but, like, their academics are high. They do better with, like, sports like baseball where you're going to get a good NIL? No, but you can say, like, hey, your program is ranked in the top five in the country if you come here, right? That's why those other schools do so good on the Olympic sports that are ranked high. And so I think with Northwestern, you're getting guys from like the Chicago area and other areas that just want a great degree. Like one of them was a psychologist. He said that he was even, I don't know. One of them said that he was a psychologist now or something. Another one, I think it might've been the same guy, said about like how he got treated for depression after leaving because he wanted to leave, but he wanted to finish his degree. So like he didn't talk with anybody. He just kind of went in, tried to stay away. And I mean, I've heard of people doing hazing personally. I don't think I've ever been around it. Right. I mean, I'm from like a small area, but I feel like if someone was like, hey, we're going to get all the guys around, like we've had a rough practice, man. He's like, the only way I could think to get better is if we do some naked bear crawls. I would be like, what the hell are you talking about? Like that was one of their punishments if they weren't in shape or whatever, they'd make them do bear crawls, but they were naked. Like, what does that have to do with it? Like, coach would run you to death doing sprints, but that kind of makes sense. Like the Kirk Ferentz thing, looking at the two situations, because I hear people comparing them from like my Big Ten friends or whatever. They're like, oh, Kirk Ferentz should have been fired if they're firing Pat Fitzgerald. Kirk's were actual like training injuries, ribdo or myosin or whatever, because he was making all those kids do like 2 million push-ups. I don't know, that's an exaggeration. I don't remember the exact number. But weren't they doing like push-ups, squats, and then running sprints because they were out of shape? And then it was like a situation where it was like extreme dehydration that like brought on really fast by doing way too much exercise because they were out of shape, and then they were getting sick. Like, luckily he didn't have a situation like Maryland where a student died. Because like that was the same thing where they came out and blamed it on him not drinking his water or whatever. But still, you have to, like, as a coach, you have to see the guy, his water on the line where he's working out is not being drank. Like, I don't understand. Like, there has to be some type of accountability. And I think, like, with the Kirk thing, I joked about him having a fall guy. But in reality, that's what he did. Right? He even set up a fall guy for this year with the Sun. He said, yeah, we have to do 20 points a game or whatever it was, 25. And if they don't, guess who's not getting fired? Kirk, the fire his son, right? It's like the weirdest thing where he's like almost like, I don't care about winning championships. I really just want to get my paycheck and like I'll be the winningest coach in Iowa history or whatever. And I'm fine with that. Right? So with Fitzgerald, he was doing the same thing with Northwestern, but it's almost like, come on, if he would have came out 5-10 years ago and stopped it, he would have been a hero. He was an athlete there. That's like with some of the stuff with Harbaugh and like how their allegations against like the doctor and stuff. It's like, you were there. You had to know that there was some weird stuff going on. Like, speak up, be the hero. That's what I would like some of these other guys to like come out and say. Like, even, like, the Penn State stuff, everyone still rallied around, like, Jopa or whatever. It's like, just come out and say, like, yeah, he made some mistakes. He ruined his, like, legacy, but let's bring it back to, like, all the good stuff he did, you know? But no one ever said that. It was like, you know what? We're just going to double down. And Northwestern doubling down and Pat Fitzgerald not saying anything until he gets fired. And then he said, oh, yeah, I didn't even hear anything. So it kind of blindsided me that I was fired. It's like, you know, he's setting up a lawsuit saying that he was fired without cause. That's the entire thing, I think. And I'm just...
But I thought, like, it was weird that they did this long investigation. They came out with what info they had and said, we're suspending him. Was it 2 weeks, two games, or
they were suspending him 2 weeks? I don't know if it was during the summer, like it could have been right now, or it could have been the first 2 weeks of the season. The weird thing is, they're keeping all the assistant coaches, right? And this is what doesn't line up to me, because you're telling me that, oh, Pat, he was isolated, he's the head coach, he goes into his office, he's all like big picture business, he's like the CEO. I would buy that. I talk about CEO head coaches all the time. Pat Fitzgerald, I know he played. He kind of fits the bill where maybe he is kind of like the CEO, more like hanging out with alums, getting them to build that new field, things like that. The assistant coaches, though, they're the ones that are hands-on with the players. If Pat says, like, I heard about the Shrek clap, but I thought it was something stupid. Like, when did Shrek even come out, Matt? Because, like, that's like my thing. No one in 2023 is saying, you know what? I just watched Shrek. I'm going to make up a thing to do a practice called Shrek. Right? 2001 was when Shrek came out. So, like, that is what was scary to me. Because I thought, oh, my God, 2005, like, Shrek maybe came out around that time. It'd be like me coming in to, like, practice or whatever and being like, I just saw this new thing. And you're like, you're bringing up like the Sandlot. Like, yeah, I saw this new thing from the Sandlot. I'm gonna try it. I'm going to bring you my heater. People be like, what the hell are you talking about, buddy? Sandlot's been out 30 years. Like, you're not doing a Shrek clap in 2023. don't even know when the last Trek movie came out. Like, wasn't there three of them or something? I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, like, for someone to be doing something called The Shrek, that seems to be very scary. Because, like, the last Shrek movie came out, there was four of them, was 2010. So this has been going on for, Matt, most likely 13 years. And that's me just on the assumption of someone bringing up Shrek. Unless someone was born. No, because even if you were born, like, you're not, like, if you're born in 2000, you're not watching Shrek as soon as you're born for 5 years. Like, you'd had to have been, like, a kid. Maybe. Like, wow, 1995, maybe you're born. You're really into Shrek. You come to Northwestern and you're like, I got it, guys. My favorite movie growing up was Shrek. I got this weird thing where we clap, take our clothes off, we'll run you through the car wash and we'll do this other stuff. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, how the coaches would never hear that and not at least be curious. Right? Because, like, you're a head coach. I'm sure you've heard, like, weird things or, like, games that kids are playing or, like, even, like, TikTok trends or, like, what are the old ones? Like, Instagram trends or whatever. People are, like, planking and doing weird stuff. Like, oh, ice bucket challenge type stuff. That's kind of what the Shrek thing seems to me. And I feel like the coaches have had to have heard it enough where they either said, like, hey, we don't want to hear about it, whatever, keep it to yourselves. But if they're doing it during a game or whatever, like, to me, that's even weird. Like, oh, man, yeah, that was a really close one. We lost to Michigan by 3, but, man, did you see us do that Shrek clap? We got this guy. Wait till practice on Monday, baby. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, oh, man, if only we would have naked bear crawled 15 more times, we would have got him. We would have got him, Matt. It's like, it's not making you better. No one likes hazing, right? I've never heard one person be like, you know what? I kind of really like that. And if you did, it'd be kind of weird, right? I mean, I guess the guy who made it up probably liked it, right? I don't know how you make something like that up, though. But maybe I'm wrong. Reach out to me. Let me know. If you've been a part of hazing, maybe you started hazing. You didn't want to do hazing. You stopped it. I know, like, making fun or, like, fighting, yelling at your own teammates. Like, I've done that. Yelled, almost got into fist fights on the bench. I mean, you're hot. You're kids. You're, like, very interested in the game. Most likely you're competitive if you're playing sports anyway. But you're, like, coming in and, like, hey, man, I'm really out of shape. I need to run more. It's like, no, we got something for you. Pop off all your clothes and do some bear crawls. I'd be like, are you serious? Like, I don't even want to be here. Why would I be wanting to do that? Why would that make me want to get more in shape? If anything, I think it would have the opposite effect. Because it's more of like a humiliation thing, right?
I think.
No, I feel like I'm speculating too much. And this is basing, and they said that it was confirmed. That report said these things were confirmed. So when I'm reading them here on the show of like what they were doing, it's not a joke. They were doing this. And like, to your point, I'm surprised more people didn't transfer out. Didn't they have a big time recruit to transfer? No, they had someone from Clemson transfer in, didn't they? Yeah, I think it was the opposite. I was thinking they had someone transfer to Clemson, but I think it was opposite. The Clemson quarterback transferred to Northwestern.
Well, the one quarterback went to Oregon State too.
But like, I mean, you brought up recruiting. Like on recruiting, I would assume that some of this kind of comes out because like you're given a player to kind of hang out with. And it's usually the fun player, right?
I would say, yeah.
It's not like they're going to give you the guy. Because I don't know if you went like any recruiting trips, but like I clearly remember the guy and like I hung out with them and like went to parties like as soon as I got on campus with them, right? Because like you remember like, yeah, they gave me that guy for a reason. Because they want you to come to campus. It's not like, hey, thanks for coming to stay with me for the weekend. Bust out some books. Let's read. It's like, oh, this is what we're doing? Thought you're showing me around. Show me a good time, right? So that's my last thing on it. I don't know how Northwestern cleans this up. You didn't get rid of any of the other assistant coaches, so you're not cleaning house. So how big of an issue is this for you? Because, like, I know you're late in the game, too. And that's the one thing that kind of is crazy about this, because, like, I've heard people speculating maybe they'll grab, like, a Michigan or an Ohio State assistant coach that kind of knows the Big Ten, bring them in late, and kind of just hopefully make it through this year. Maybe someone like Michigan's Sherrod Moore or Ohio State's like Brian Hartline that hasn't been a head coach, that's been like kind of speculated that maybe they'll start to take a head coaching job sooner based on like their recruiting and stuff. And then this will kind of give them a head start because they're already jumping right into a big job. But like Pat Fitzgerald, he was winning like what, 7 games a year? His last couple of years, he's won like 3 games. And they still mention him for NFL jobs, right?
Yeah.
He might still get an NFL job. If he's like really says like, you know what? That's why I'm surprised he didn't make a statement and said like, you know what? I'm focused on business here. Like I trusted these other trainers or XYZ. Our locker rooms are separated. I know his lawyer most likely advised him not to say that. But if he really had nothing to do with it, I think now, and now he probably has a lawsuit coming, but like, I think he could very easily have came out and said like, hey, the report cleared me. I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm done with the college game. I'd love to coach in the NFL. And he like left it at that. I guarantee he would get an NFL offer. Because he was more of an NFL type coach. Like when you're winning at a smaller school, even if you're not beating the big dogs, but you're still recruiting poorly because of the academics, the NFL is very interested because like everyone in the NFL has like basically equal talent. They want a guy that can scheme some wins out. I mean, he won the Big Ten West twice since Northwestern's been in, Matt. Nebraska's been in. Nebraska hasn't won anything. Which is even more embarrassing that you let this group win 2 division titles and you haven't won anything with Scott Frost. Scott Frost has to be wondering, like, should I have been doing that stuff?
Possibly.
I don't know how, if you're like, where do you go if you're in Northwestern? Heck, I mean, Scott Frost bombed out, but like bringing in a guy that like...
I almost think Northwestern, what I see them doing is doing similar to what Navy did. They wanted change, but knowing that there's certain stuff that they wanted to still maintain within the program that they just hired from within. They like Navy promoted their defensive coordinator, hired a new offensive coordinator. They're still running the option, but there's enough change happening to appease the administration.
Well, see, that's the one thing I'm looking at here. So this started November 30th, 2022. Okay, according to The Athletic.
The investigation or the...
The initial complaint. So they hired an attorney. And the investigation started basically January, even though it kind of started like in December. So basically, if they wanted to fire him, I think most likely they've had this information for who knows how long, right? Because they disclosed it in January. They kind of already started to talk with the team in December. They just released the information in July 7th, like that Friday. I think it was Friday, right? That's the kind of came out to me. It's like, you're releasing this on Friday. You clearly planned this. How long have you had this information? Because to me, I don't think they were trying to fire him. I think they were trying to keep him around. I think if they released the investigation, they thought they would blow under the rug because you just had 4th of July. People really aren't watching sports. It's going to be, what, All-Star Week, right? All-Star Baseball hasn't even gripped me this year. Even though my Braves are 4 games up in the entire Major League Baseball. Awesome. Do it in October. Get a Bucktober going, Braves. Just like 2 years ago, whenever that was. So for them to do this now, like it had to have been planned. They didn't wait to Big Ten media days, right? Like Urban Meyer's thing. Because remember with Urban Meyer, they tried to do the same thing. They brushed under the rug. But McMurphy was just there, bringing it up. Making it uncomfortable for them, right? Like, he was like a dog that year, just eating into him. And they were just sitting there taking it. And then finally they suspended Meyer. And then he was like getting more information about like weird stuff in the office and getting like information requests out for like purchases on like the business cards that were weird. And like all that stuff came out because they had access. By dropping this now, people are going to forget it. They're not going to bring that up at Big Ten Media Days. But the fact that the student newspaper decided to do their own investigation is the only reason he's fired. If the student newspaper didn't do anything, Fitzgerald's still the coach. We don't know that this has been going on since 2005, because I don't, or whenever 2007, I forget what it said. But like, the student newspaper reached out and had old athletes contact them. I don't know what their newspaper was called, but that's basically why this story kept going. Because they said like, hey, yeah, the report said, hey, this is true. Did you read the player statement?
I saw some of them.
The player statement was ridiculous, and everyone knew it was fake, and it didn't make sense. Because paragraph two, I think, it said something like, there was no hazing. Like, we don't participate in hazing. We don't like hazing, anything like that. By paragraph six, they were saying things like, and even if the hazing was happening, like, Patrick, he didn't know what we were doing. Definitely didn't know that we were hazing each other. And it's like, why are you reversing what you said in paragraph two? Just stop after paragraph two. Just say there was no hazing. That's it. Why go in? Like, by paragraph six, I'm thinking it's like the guy that the cops are asking questions and he just keeps talking because he thinks like, yeah, I'll just talk my way out of this, you know? Instead of just lawyering up. Lawyer up, say like, yeah, you know what? We didn't do any hazing. You have to talk to our lawyer to hear any further information. Boom, that's it. Because like that thing to me, it was almost like, why did they release that? A lawyer wrote that, but that was poorly written. You don't say like, hey, I didn't start that fire. But if I did, like, I don't think I would have been using like matches like that. And then the firemen are like, how do they know we used matches? Or how do they know that we knew that guy used matches or whatever? Like, that's the kind of like roundabout thinking that was in that new Northwestern player letter, to the point where it's almost like I feel like they admitted it.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised they didn't delete it. And they might have deleted it after I read it a few times, because I was like, even the comments were like, why would you put this out there? Just put out a single tweet. Why write a big letter that contradicts itself? I feel like no one had to proofread that. I feel like we should just do our own Southbound Sports Consulting, where when like Urban Meyer gets in trouble, he calls me and I say like, all right, dog, don't talk to anybody. Right. Let me handle it. We're going to kind of just let it blow over. Like, Pat Fitzgerald or Northwestern should have called me and said like, hey, we want to keep Pat. I would have told him, all right, well, this is what you need to do. You need to kind of let the report, like, you got to kind of like let it leak out, because like they let it hit so hard. And then they put out these other statements by like the football team or whatever, that football players were so mad, they contacted the student paper, right? Like, all they had to say was like, hey, he's suspended while we conduct a further investigation. 2 weeks later, then say that he's back. And I guarantee people probably would have forgot about it. It was number three on ESPN's homepage, Matt. It wasn't even the top story. That's why I wanted to make it the top story of our show. They kind of were just like, eh. And I know Rittenberg or Rittenhouse, one of their guys, I think Rittenberg, right? I think Rittenhouse, the other crazy guy. That's the guy, like, he's from ESPN. And I think he does, I think he's a Northwestern alum, right? So, like, for him, He probably doesn't want to write about it. He's probably torn, because he's probably thinking, yeah, if Pat Fitzgerald can keep us going and being competitive while NIL kicks in, maybe some of our mega rich donors will start to pay and we'll become like Duke of football, right? Because they're building that new awesome stadium, which now the donors have kind of pushed back and they're mad they got rid of Fitz. I think I mentioned it earlier. They said that they don't know if they want to contribute anymore. That might be on hold. If the donors aren't behind a guy they're not going to be getting the top coach from like Michigan or Ohio State. Like, are you insane? And you're being forced to keep the assistant coaches. Cause like, to me, like you can't say like, hey, yeah, we had all this issues going on in the locker room, but we're just going to promote from within. Right. Cause like, there's going to be that I don't even know, like the community is still there. The players are still going to be comfortable. It's not going to be like Dion coming in and cleaning house. Like Northwestern needed Dion. They needed a guy to come in and tell the kids like, no, that's gross, dog. You guys are out. I'm bringing in my own guys and we're winning. I'm bringing in winners that don't do weird things. But they're not doing that. It's the only time that I think the transfer portal would make people like more comfortable. Cause like very easy. If a coach comes down and sits down with each kid and he talks about it, they're pretty much going to know who was doing it. Right. I feel like the other players are kind of all rat on like, yeah, I'm pretty much safe. I'm here to work, coach. Where the other guy that was guilty is going to be suspicious as hell. And everyone else is going to point him out. Right. They're going to want him gone. They're not going to try to save the guys that were doing the hazing. But that's my last thought on it. Speaking of, I guess, do you want to add anything in there?
No, I think we pretty much got it all.
I know. It's tougher for you because, like, as a coach, even just talking about it, it's almost like, oh, yeah, I can't say too much. But it's like, I'm speaking out like I'm on the side of the players, like, help them. These are still like teenagers, man. They're going to be 17, 18 coming into your program. You had to have heard about the Shrek clap. They said they've done it at practice. It's been confirmed. You weren't curious? Like, I that's what I don't understand. Like,
but I think from a coach standpoint, like maybe you hear Shrek clap, but like you want to go down the road of finding out like what all goes into it, because there's some stuff that like, you know, like these situations that if you start going down the road, like it becomes, is it better for you not to know and have that plausible deniability, or do you want to know every single thing? And then you're really having to police a lot more within the locker room. I think from the coaching standpoint, like you see a lot of this where it's like, I don't want to know, because there's some, no matter how much you try to structure things for the kids, they're going to find ways to be knuckleheads. And it's kind of splitting the what's boys being boys. What's like, where does that line break? Because there's, I'm sure going back, there were things that you guys did in the locker room that could have constituted bullying or hazing or things like that.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like even the bullying that like I've seen outside of sports, like I've seen kids fight, typically it ramps up, right? It wasn't just like one day they were like, you know what? We got to start a new tradition of doing a car wash in the locker room. And everyone was like, brilliant, brilliant. How do we decide who's the car and who's the spinnies or whatever the hell they would call them? I don't even know how you would call them anything to set that up. So like that didn't start. It probably started with like, okay, well, we're doing poor. You got to do bear crawls. Well, you keep messing up. Like, what's wrong with you? How many bear crawls do you have to do? Like, how about you do them naked? Will that help? As like a one-off probably. And then they're like, hey, that kind of worked. So then they started with that. And then they're like, well, you know what? If that works, how about we do this other thing naked? And it's like, all right, cool. Like, let's get the hose out. Like, Silence of the Lambs, another classic 90s movie, right? When Patrick Fitzgerald was there. Like, how do we know he wasn't the hose? Right? So, like, I just feel like if you have that many people involved in a locker room and you have a community shower, the first thing a school should do, and if I was an athlete, I'll say this on the show because I thought about this immediately. The first thing any school should do is fix up the locker room where everyone gets individual showers. It's 2023. You can't tell me that you're setting up massage chairs and personal ice baths and all this other bullshit, but yet you can't get showers set up in the locker room. Like, give me a break. And if I was taking a tour and I was a five-star recruit and they're like, hey, this is the locker room, this is where you can go ahead and take a shower, or this is your thing, I would want a full personal bathroom, man. If I'm a five-star recruit, I want the personal bathroom, shower right behind my locker right there with the fan that comes in, you know, from the roof or whatever. So like, you know, it's not going to be like staking up the place because everyone has their own personal ventilation in the locker room. Like, that would be a must for me. And I feel like kids are like, oh yeah, cool. I got a chair that lights up, spins around. It's like, all right, where do I shower? It's like over there in that corner, that closet. It's a little dusty. That pipe's broken a little bit. You got to jiggle it. It's like, that's where I'm showering, buddy. Like, give me a break. That's the number one thing. Cause I think it seems like that's where a lot of their stuff was happening based on the reports. So it's 2023. Cut that out. Like, you're building boxes. Your stadium's going to be how many millions of dollars, but yet you can't set up individual lockers that have like their own showers or whatever. Like, it can't really be a space thing. I feel like they renovate the locker rooms how many times? And if you think I'm joking, just type in like so-and-so football tour of locker room, because I'm pretty sure they have like virtual tour. I'm gonna look and see if I can find it for Northwestern. Because like football tour. Because I've seen people say that. It's like, oh yeah, you know what? I did take a tour of Northwestern's locker room, and there's no way there was a whiteboard in there. All right, so here's a weight room they have. I guess it's not really a tour. It's a YouTube video. I'm going to have sound on this. I don't want to have sound on it. All right. They have an interactive board where you can see how many people are in the NFL mat. But you don't have your own shower. That's part of the Northwestern experience here. What's this one? Oh, who, guess who's giving the tour here, Matt, of the locker room? Old Pat Fitzgerald himself. Classic. They're going to take down these YouTube videos. Oh, here's the football locker room. Oh, so he was in it. He took the video. Or no, is that him? I can't tell. These guys all kind of look the same. Yeah, that's part of their culture. let's see here. What do we got here? They're going back a hallway. There's a stadium. So, like, they must be talking about, like, multiple stadiums. There's the weight room. But I honestly think if they got rid of the community showers at Northwestern or, like, at any college... Yeah, they have like personal ice baths. Or no, wait, what are these? Sauna chairs? I don't even know what the heck these are. I don't have the sound on, so they're not telling me. It kind of looks like they're like trainer chairs. Maybe they're not personal. It's just like in this one hallway. Plus, I mean, like, there's how many players in there all at once? Like, it's going to be loud. If you hear people hooting and hollering and doing hazing, you wouldn't be a little suspicious? Like, other people had offices in this locker room. They walked by a whole row of them. So, like, I just think the accountability, it's like, all right, Pat didn't know, even though he's doing tour videos, kind of awkward. But who did know?
But maybe they're old tour videos.
Let's see, what year is this? Has to have a date on it. 4 years ago. So that was that video. I'm not looking through all these. I wish it would just tell me. But that's my one thing. It's like pretty odd. Did someone comment on this? Nah, they turned comments off. I'm sure they went through and turned comments on all of it. So like that's the one thing. Now they're talking about like his legacy. And things like that. I just don't know. In terms of people getting fired, I want to mention it earlier. Bob Huggins comes back and says that he didn't step down from West Virginia. He's still the head coach in his mind. which is kind of odd after the DUI, right? And they said, like, no, you step down, you talk to the players. But isn't that like a form of hearsay? Like, did they know what he said to the players? Did he record it? Were, like, their lawyers there?
Maybe they just told them.
Were they just players? That's what I'm wondering. Like, okay, he just got a DUI. So, like, he was, what, in the holding cell? He comes back. Is he sobered up? He comes by and tells the players, like, the next day he's done? Because it seemed like it was pretty fast, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they didn't get him help or anything. They knew he's been spiraling down. And I'm surprised, like, with the age of some of these coaches that, like, we don't see it happen more, right? And, like, at some point, it has to take a toll on you. So I just wonder, like, with him, he's obviously looking for money. My man Mike Leach never got his money from Texas Tech. He died unexpectedly. At least I know he was sick and stuff, but that was kind of like, almost like, oh, yeah, he's sick. He'll probably, like, lose some weight or get in shape. Not like, oh, yeah, he's sick. He's going to die soon, you know? So, like, with Huggins, it's like, yeah, he's getting old. He had all these, like, a big-time recruiting class come in. They were getting odds for winning a natty and at least making the Final Four again. And it's like, yeah, maybe the pressure was too much. He decided to start acting crazy. Just take the payout, right? If he can take the payout and come out on top by leaving the next coach with, like, a ton of recruits, but, like, what was it, Wisconsin that did something weird like that, where their coach kind of just stepped down so that they were forced to name his assistant the interim?
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, this might not work out, but then he has worked out for them, at least for the most part, right, for Wisconsin. Like, I don't know what their expectations should be. But I wonder with Huggins, like, West Virginia, to me, is in a bad place. They're having trouble with donations. They're having trouble with support. They're not good in most sports, right? Right now, at least the big ones. And they're playing in the Big 12. They have no close rivalries that are keeping them going. Now they get Cincinnati in. I think not getting Louisville or Pitt really hurts them. They have to be licking their chops, though, because I think that West Virginia, if Pitt and the ACC implode and the Pitt joins the Big 12 or whatever is left, you know, and they're back with West Virginia, I think having that rivalry back would elevate West Virginia and Pitt up to the point where you're giving yourself a national game outside of, like, Penn State playing either of them or, what, Pitt playing Clemson, like, recently? Because Miami hasn't been doing it. Hasn't Pitt just been killing them most times? Which is odd, right? Like, hey, we're bringing Miami and they'll beat them by 40. It's like, oh my God, that Miami used to be good.
didn't see that one coming.
So it's like, and maybe I'm wrong, I should always have Wikipedia up at all times just so that I can look and see, like, oh yeah, maybe I'm misremembering. But, like, I remember the one year I was supposed to go to the game and a buddy of mine took the wrong day off. This was his excuse. And I think Pitt slammed him that day. It might have been, I don't even know what year that would have been. Would it have been? No, it wouldn't have been the Dave Wannstedt year. I don't know. So Pitt has only won a couple. They just killed him last year. So Pitt won 42-16. Maybe it was 2014 where Pitt won 35-23. Or no, that one says in Miami, Florida. I don't know what year we're supposed to go. Maybe Miami did the win the year I was supposed to go. But, like, watching that, it's like, all right, Pitt comes in, beats them, wins the ACC, or heck, they lose it and win the ACC. It doesn't really matter because, like, it's, they don't care. Where if you play West Virginia every year, then you have that measuring stick of saying, that's our team. That's our team. That's where, like, if the Notre Dame-USC thing goes away, does Notre Dame have anyone left that's a measuring stick game for them? It used to be the joke that, like, Michigan and Notre Dame would play for the September, like, national championship, and then both of them would, like, kind of filter out, like, you know? Like, that was an awesome game. They're both ranked top five, start the year, top 10. Then they both end up, like, six wins. It's like awesome. Back in the Rich Rod days. Which, do you ever think, here's a question for you. Do you ever think back to like old Florida State coaches and like wonder like, what happens if that was a little bit different? Would Florida State be Alabama at this point? Like, what if Rich Rod took the Alabama job, Matt, and Michigan hired Les Miles? Would things have been different? Would Michigan have fallen off? Would Ryan Mallett have drowned him? He could have been. He could have still been in the NFL, playing for Les Miles at Michigan, winning a national championship. You know, he could be the next Tom Brady, doing his own workout fitness things. You don't know how there's another multiverse or whatever where he's a champ. Right?
Oh God, I can't even deal with you.
What's your alternate Florida State thing? Jameis doesn't steal those crabs and they lose that year?
I would say the Dan Kendra not getting hurt in practice, because he ended up getting injured during practice and got throttled by the defense, and he ended up not being able to quarterback and ended up playing fullback for him.
Yeah, no one has a fullback anymore. That's a bummer, huh?
His story, though, is really crazy. If you ever really need some new reading material, read about the legend of Dan Kendra.
I really just read Urban Meyer updates.
I would think there shouldn't be that many right now.
Well, I just hope, is he becoming lukewarm on Michigan hate lately? Like, if Ryan Day would win in two natties, would that make Urban want to be Michigan's next coach if Harbaugh goes to the NFL, Matt? What would it take?
I think he'd just be done at this point.
Why? He needs to come out. He needs to come out on top, right? He's probably loving it that Florida's been a disaster since he's gone. So having another coach come in and just be better than you, I think would have to hurt. And him watching Ryan Day get killed by Michigan, he kind of seemed happy on the set of the Fox show after. Like, at first, he seemed like he was kind of annoyed. But then when people were chanting, we want Urban, he was happy. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Because, what if he never got fired for Ohio State alternate history? And they end up winning a national championship? Because wasn't that, their best team? Weren't they loaded that year Ryan Day took over?
Yeah.
Or was it the year before? I can't remember. Because it was they were really stacked there. Right around that transition. Because they ended Don Brown's career basically that one year because they were so loaded on offense and Michigan just couldn't stop them. And they scored 60 points, remember? Don Brown had no answer. But that was Ryan Day's first year, I think. Because then he had the COVID year. That was the year they beat Clemson. Or did they lose to Clemson, right?
I want to say lost to Clemson.
I can't remember. The one year they beat him and lost to Natty, but then I think they lost to Clemson the year Ryan Day was there. No, I think Ryan Day does have a playoff win. Maybe they beat someone else and lost to Clemson in the national championship. Did they? That doesn't seem right, though, either. I could probably easily look this stuff up, but it's at the end of the show. If you're still listening, you're a big fan, you know I've been crazy today. It's not every day that you read weird reports about football hazing. And it melts your brain because people are some people are out there saying oh, that happens everywhere. I've never been part of a car wash, Matt. Have you?
I've been to a car wash before. Not that kind.
So have you ever done naked bear crawls?
Yes. How do you get in the tub?
Well, that's how I get my good lift on. You know, you got to get oiled up and get naked, you know? Like the ancestors.
Slide in like a penguin.
It's in this book I call it's like Workout Like Hercules. You put on a loincloth and you go out there and lift some cows up, man. Every day of your head, the cow gets bigger every day. So every day you're lifting just a little bit more weight. That's how Hercules got his strength. That's what I was told once. So if you want a summer workout program, go find a young calf. Lift it over your head a few times. The next day, come back out as a calf Soon the calf will be 2 ton, or how big the calves get, I don't know. They'll become a cow, right? Unless you cut it for veal and then start back over. But then you wouldn't be as big as Hercules, right?
That is true.
These are the questions you need in the off season, Matt. I feel bad for the guys. Because I feel like even in the NFL, like if you make it to the pros, Northwestern has guys get drafted. It's like, hey, I'm here for the hazing. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? Get out of here. Because, like, you know the NFL hazing? Like, where they get people ready? Like, wouldn't it be awkward if, like, they're like, hey, you're going to do karaoke today. And he just comes out and he's already naked. He's like, yeah, I'm ready for it. And they were like, what are you talking about? Like, we don't do that. Where do you learn that? Like, that's the one thing that kind of strikes out to me. It's like, almost like, how has this been a secret for so long? Because it's the social media age. You had guys pretending they were in a shed to get Mike Leach fired. And his dad worked for ESPN, Craig James' kid. No one ever heard of that kid anymore, right? He was never good. Did he make the NFL or anything? No, maybe he just wasn't good. But ESPN, Craig James, abused his power, got him fired. And just crazy. But I think that's all I have this week. You have anything else you want to talk about?
No.
I think I made it an hour. I was pretty fired up. If we did the show last Friday, but I wouldn't have been able to read the report, right? You had to have the student report because they were more candid with some of the stuff that went on. Because like the other report was kind of like, oh yeah, there was hazing. We confirmed it. It's like, okay, you can't have one report confirm it, and then the players say it didn't happen, but if it did, like, when we did do it, like, he didn't know, right? Okay. awesome, Gus. Great work. And I hope it doesn't happen everywhere. Like, if this happened in Michigan, I'd want them to clean house, too. Like, I don't care if they're winning. Like, if weird stuff's happening, that at some point, that's going to be a reflection of your university. Right? Do you want to be go to the school where the players go through the car wash? Is that where you want to know? Like, if someone came up to you and was like, hey, yeah, I went to Northwestern, never heard of it. It's like, wait, do you guys do naked bear crawls there? No, he's like, that was never confirmed. That was never confirmed. I'd be like, ah, a little suspicious, though. A little suspicious on how you said that. So, that's my final bell for this. Just, if you see that and you're an athlete, stop it. Don't let it go on because no one wants to do that. I wouldn't want to watch that. I wouldn't want to be a part of it because it's like a weird ritual thing. I don't know. Like I said, I've seen bullying usually just turns into a fight. And a lot of times, most times, once two kids fight, they're best buds for whatever reason. It's weird, right? So... I've never seen it go that far, and it's shocking to me, and I hope that it doesn't go on anywhere. And like, if you have kids and you're a parent, talk to your kids. You don't want them to go through this, because like, some kids get coming out saying they're depressed. You don't want them to go through like a suicide thing. I know we joke on the show, but in reality, I hate hearing about this kind of stuff. Glad Pat Fitzgerald's gone. If he gets hired in the pros, awesome, good for him. If he really had nothing to do with it. If he gets hired by another college, it's going to be a real head scratcher. But thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.